okay, I'm just going to introduce this as Eli just totally destroying the truth of the Word of God once again, not knowing what he's talking about, and talking and talking and talking. We're at 4:18 in the video. I'm going to go a little further. I'm going to come to 4. We'll start in right here. Try to move it back. Okay, 4:51.
About Pekah, the king of Judah.
Okay, right there. You heard him say Pekah, the king of Judah, right? That's what he, did you hear it? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he said Pekah, the king of Judah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. 2 Kings 15:27, in the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel.
Beautiful.
Pekah's the king of Israel, not of Judah.
That's beautiful, Keith.
I'm just saying that this guy, I know that he doesn't know the time periods, he doesn't know the genealogies, he doesn't know the law. He's talking outside of his little backside. And, you know, all they do is repeat the lines of Compare, him and Fink, over and over again about prophecy, which is their worst mistake. Well, their second worst mistake. The first worst mistake is they don't understand the law at all.
Right.
They don't know how to, you know, they just didn't take the time to rightly divide the Word of God and understand House of Judah, which is Kingdom of Judah, and House of Israel, which is Kingdom of Israel. And they never bothered to figure out that in Christ's blood there was no more of either. Simply the whole house of it. They don't understand any of these things.
That is correct. They do not.
Right. Which means they're not going to understand the Bible. Especially prophecy. Because they're always going to say that the house of Israel and the house of Judah are not going to come together until the second coming of Christ. Which is not true.
Right.
And we've already proved, you know, that that happened at the blood of Christ. That's when he broke down the middle wall of partition and made in himself one new man. He made the twain one. He made both houses one house. And what they really don't understand is why the word Gentile is perfectly good, because the house of Israel was considered heathen, Gentile. They were a people. They were nations. They were a people divided into separate nations for almost 8 centuries. They had no recognition of their roots. You know, back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They only knew themselves as Greeks, and they were pagans, which were heathens. And they came into memory again because Christ put the law in their hearts and their mind. That's when the indwelling of the Spirit came in. And Eli never brings up what we talked about, and what we proved was that, you know, the same Israelite people were Greek-speaking, sometimes Gentiles translated as Greek, 7 times, but, you know, it shows the Greek-speaking people of that region in what is today Turkey were actually Israelites. They were Scythians, that's what the Greeks called them, that's what Herodotus called them. And Eli's going around saying it's all mistranslations in the King James Bible, when the King James Bible actually tells us the whole truth. What they try to prove about history is proven in the Bible, the King James Bible, which they say is mistranslation.
Which they do not understand.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, he just blew it again. Like I said before, when somebody called in and said, well, wait a minute, Deuteronomy 23:7 says, do not abhor an Edomite. And Eli's thrown for a loop and then he uses his usual fallback. Well, that's another mistranslation. Because he didn't go back and study that Esau did actually have one lawful wife, the daughter of Ishmael. Ishmael, son of Abraham.
Right.
Yes. He married an Adamic woman to please his father Isaac. And that's written. We'll do that little study. It doesn't take long. I mean, I can do it right now. Just the key verse in Genesis, see, in 26, at the end, said that Esau was 40 years old, and when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now, we won't go through the whole next chapter, although that has some bearings, but we'll get to the point. This is Genesis 28, verse 8. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan, please not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. So he married lawfully to please his father Isaac one time. But he had already intermarried with the seed of the serpent. What Esau didn't do, which caused God to say, I hate Esau, that's in Malachi 1, and repeated in that terribly important chapter, Romans 9, is divorce and put away the wives and repent of his sin.
Right.
He didn't do it. He thought he could appease his father Isaac by marrying lawfully one time. So, you know, but Eli James, he never tells the truth about what he's trying to prove, which means he doesn't prove anything. So he's got people going round and round in circles and talking about Jews, Jews, and Jews, and we've already done the proof, and there's no such thing as an Israelite who could call himself a Jew today. But why don't they come clean? Why don't they just say that everybody calling himself a Jew is somebody who doesn't understand the Bible at all? Including Eli, but Eli would have to admit that he doesn't understand the Bible because he keeps talking as if there's some kind of Jew.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, let's listen to a little more. So there's a few more on here.
...of the Hebrew word Yehudi. It should not be translated as Jew because the Judahites were a specific tribe. The Jews today...
Yeah, well, see, there's a mistake. Yes, it should be Yehudi. It should be translated something. It shouldn't be Judahite like you keep saying. Do you think that the Yehudi, the house of Judah, was just comprised of the tribe of Judah? I mean, we've done this over and over again, Mona.
But that is what he thinks, and that's what I thought, too, until you brought forward a whole lot of extra knowledge, historical knowledge that you have.
Well, it's just a matter of, you have to use the proper name. The proper noun, Jew and Gentile, are correctly capitalized. Because even from the beginning, you don't have Gentile till Genesis 10. You already have the precepts set. This is the book of the generations of Adam, the race of Adam. So the Gentiles you were talking about were God's family on the earth, Adam.
Oh, okay.
Continues in a family story, but they make this big deal, like the last 2 weeks, these people go, oh, Gentile's terrible, Gentiles shouldn't be used, Gentiles, well, it's actually a perfectly good word, so is Jew, if you understand it, Eli. But he doesn't.
I thought Gentile meant non-Judah.
Yeah, well, think about it. Let's put it in this context. If God divorced the house of Israel, which he did.
Yeah.
He said, you're not a people.
Right.
Right.
That's when they became Gentiles.
Yes. Well, let's just use the word, let's look at it this way. We've got one people, Israel. All the way from the beginning of the 15th century, all the way down to when the kingdoms divided, 930 B.C. All right? So we got about 550 years when they're all one people. All right?
Okay.
1050 B.C., they got their first king, Saul. Each king, Saul, then David, then Solomon, each reigned for 40 years.
Right.
Three kings, 120 years total. Three times 40 is 120. Takes us to 930 B.C. Now the kingdom's divided. And they're still all Israelites, but they're two political kingdoms.
Right.
Well, the kingdom of the north has to have a name. That's the house of Israel, or kingdom of Israel. And the kingdom of the south has to have a name. And that would be the kingdom or house of Judah. And the reason why it has to have the name Judah on it, as I've explained 10,000 times and nobody seems to get, is because God made an everlasting covenant with David, who was of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Right. It's that simple. The name has to reflect Judah, and it has to be a lawfully ordained king from the royal family of David to be a lawful kingdom. The northern kingdom, the 10-tribe northern kingdom, was in rebellion. But
right.
The truth is, they're all still Israel in God's eyes for 190 years till we come to the reign of Pekah, which this clown says is the king of Judah, but he's not. He's
right.
The second to last king of Israel, Hosea was the last. All right, so now God divorces them. That's 740 B.C., and you can do the history, and the archaeological records show it. Eli tries to prove that when Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, marched into the land, that the people were expelled. But if you read 2 Kings 15, they weren't. Mena, the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, the king of the house of Israel, paid them off. He paid tribute. Tiglath-Pileser went back home, took the money, and, geez, okay, fine. And then there was another king, Pekahiah. And this was the last 3 years of the reign of Mena. And then Pekahiah was assassinated. He only reigned 2 years. But it was 5 years later. So the divorce wasn't until 740 B.C., and that's exactly where the archaeology and everything fits. And I've done the studies. That's when Pekah came to reign over the house of Israel. But he doesn't even have his kingdom straight in the study he's trying to do to prove things about Jew and why Jesus is not a Jew. It's just silly as y'all get out. I mean, this man's as lost as you can be. Because the divorce, God does not count the divorce until the year that Israel started to be deported, which was 740 B.C., which was when Pekah came to reign.
Okay.
And the reason I'm telling you all this again is to reiterate that Eli's trying to push this idea that America is the new Jerusalem.
Wow, and his knowledge is pathetic compared to other Bible scholars. Even my friends that I know that know the Bible much better than I, they would catch that in a second.
Well, this is my source of anger.
Yeah.
If they could just get these people to understand the simplicity in Christ and go back to the understanding this is a law book, understanding that the covenant, the new covenant's made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. See, get them to understand who Israel is.
Right.
Now, I made a mistake when I was talking to you. I went back and listened to a broadcast. We have to take this off because I didn't know you were taping me, and I was angry because I went through a few hours of faking Eli James. That was the April 27th. We're going to take that one down.
Okay.
I don't want that to exist. We've covered most of it in other ones anyway. It's just I didn't have a plan. You know, I didn't have it laid out. I was just ranting.
Okay.
I was angry. I was tired. Because I can't listen to these guys for 3 hours without getting terribly upset. And after I'd done that, you know, I called up to you and I ranted to you and I didn't know you were recording me. So I wanted to take April 27th down.
Okay.
It's going to be gone.
Right. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to go through this. There's just so many avenues to go to. It's just, if we didn't have all these heretics claiming to be pastors in Christian identity, teaching all this nonsense, like the thousand-year reign of Christ is already passed, that's Comper A. Fink and Eli James, totally destroying the truth of the time periods of prophecy, totally not understanding the two witnesses, completely changing the words like we did last time when he used incorruptible to try to prove his lie about Revelation. That was just one example, Mona. There's thousands of them. This guy tells you you've got to study and look up the words and do a good word study and never does it. He twists every word. And people don't catch it because they don't go to the concordance, they don't go to the Bible, no study.
Well, it sounds to me like his mistakes are so primitive that even without going to those sources, a lot of biblical students would spot them right away.
Yeah, well, the big problem is that we've got a whole world deceived into believing, and this is where I didn't correct what you said. I should have stopped. I didn't try to claim that Fink and Eli James, they're not deceived. I mean, they're not teaching the deception that the Jews are Israel, or they're not imposters. I'm not saying that. I was talking about the mainstream church world, the Protestants and the Catholics. I'd have to go back and play back the thing to it, but I should have stopped and said, no, I wasn't talking about Fink and Eli James. I'm just talking about your average Protestant going to church. You know, what Fink and James say is true about them, yeah. They're deceived into actually believing the Canaanites are Israelites. because they don't know who they are. Okay, that's true, but that's all milk of the Bible. Right?
Right.
But you understand the covenant law, and you do the research into the dispersions of Israel, and that's why I even use a book. I use the symbols book, the symbols of our Celto-Saxon heritage, and it puts together all the symbols that come from Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. And those are our flags and our emblems of our people, of the white race in Europe. Okay, that's fine. We're going to establish that, you know, the Jews are imposters. Eli's right on that. Fink's right on that. I was talking about the deceived mainstream churches. And I didn't say enough to correct that at that time I heard in the recording. But I think that was on the 27th broadcast, so that'll go anyway. But
well, I just took off the 27th.
Yeah, because we don't need it. I don't think we need the 2011 broadcast either. I think, because there was all kinds of sound problems.
Wait, what are you talking about, the 2011 broadcast?
Ones that, the beginning ones from 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are on a whole different page.
Oh, no, they're on the same page that I have.
Oh, yes, they are. You want me to take those off?
Well, can you keep them in reserve?
Yeah.
Yeah, just take them off the page.
Yeah, I'm just taking the links off.
Yeah, take the links off.
There are four of them.
Yeah, we'll start with 2013, because I have to plan this out more. Cause,
okay.
There's so much that has to be taught about basics, and I keep harping on it, but if you read through the law and you haven't looked up the word stranger, you're not going to understand the first five books of Moses, because there's different words for stranger. They mean different things, and you have to understand there's different branches of Adam. And sometimes a stranger can be somebody of Adam who's of the same family, but they're from a different country. And sometimes the word stranger could be something like Zur. And that would be somebody you wouldn't want to even take into your household as a servant. You wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. In fact, God made war with them. And, there's different words for strangers. So if we don't get it, the law sounds like a mess. Here he says, be kind unto strangers and this and that. And here's another place where he says, kill these strangers.
Right.
So, you have to define your terms.
Mm-hmm.
To understand the names. And so what I'm saying is Fink and this and that and Comparé, they understood seed of the serpent, they understood seed of the woman, they understood some of the milk, but somehow, for some reason, everything the guy that is James tries to teach, he always twists something. And I catch him on it, he just never teaches it in truth. And that's why he came up at the end when he come to Revelation, and he thinks it's all fulfilled and done because he doesn't understand the prophet. Because it has to be fulfilled. And now he's got all these people on RBN calling in and saying, Yahweh bless, and oh, Pastor Eli. And they have no idea that they're listening to an absolute heretic. I mean, the guy's so far to the left hand, I mean, but you have to understand the words and the history and the law and the time periods. I was trying to think what to do next. I get so many ideas each time. They keep bringing up over and over again. The apostles were all Israelites of the tribe of Benjamin, which they really can't prove. They might have been, but, it doesn't give their tribe. We know they're Israelites, except Judas Iscariot. But I can show a way to prove that Judas Iscariot could only have been an Israelite. He was not a Canaanite. That's one example. Another example would be when you go to Genesis 38, and this is what caused Lindstedt to just blow up at me, and we argued back and forth. It says that Judah married a Canaanite woman. It says the same thing about Simeon. The truth is, both of Shaul and Sheila, their genealogies are in Israel's genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of these identity people understand the genealogy of 1 Chronicles 2 through 9. That's 100% Israelite genealogy.
Right.
Simeon's offspring by the Canaanite woman are Israelites, and same with Judah. The Shilohites were Israelites, they're not Canaanites. And William Fink's going on and about it, the Shilohite Canaanites, you know. And there's ways you could prove it. You could look up Shilohite. There is no mention in prophecy about any evil Shilohites that, you know, they're not even mentioned after that. All they were the weavers of fine linen, and they're in Judah's genealogy, and that's in 1 Chronicles 4. And the reason why is they didn't do the study. A Canaanite can be a descendant of cursed Canaan, a seed of the serpent, or it could just be an inhabitant of the land of Canaan.
Right.
And, you know, I told Martin Lindstedt that. I said, do you see that the word has two meanings? He said, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, because Martin is smart. When you show him something, he can see it.
Oh, Martin can't see it.
I thought you said he did, after you showed it to him.
No, he wouldn't see it.
Oh.
He never do.
Mm.
I mean, I can read it to you. It's right here. It's 1 Chronicles 4, 21. And this starts in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 3. The sons of Judah. And then it goes on and on about Judah. In chapter 3, it starts the sons of David, which is still of Judah.
Right.
Chapter 4 says the sons of Judah. In chapter 4, we're still in it. And it says 21, the sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Leadah, the father of Merishah, and the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen of the house of Ashbiah. Now the names, you know, when we go back further, before we come into the time of Moses, the names get a little harder to pronounce and a little more foreign, but they're in Judah's genealogy. I said, Martin, here's the proof. Oh, don't tell me. No, Judah married a Canaanite. And they're so silly, they think that the first generation of Israel after Jacob, in other words, the 12 patriarchs, two of the 12 interracially married. And they actually believe that they could come out of captivity in Egypt 430 years later as a pure race. That's just silly.
Yes, it is.
Well, see, that's how, you know, that's why we don't have any teachers anymore. You know,
yes.
this whole passage of 1 Chronicles 2 through chapter 9 is the most important genealogy you can read in the Bible. It's the most complete. I won't say it's the most important. You have to put it together with, you know, Genesis 4, again, is Cain's genealogy. Genesis 5 is Adam's genealogy. That's important. Genesis 10 gives you a general overview of the branches of Adam. It tells you about the sons of Shem. But Genesis 11 is where the time period picks up, and it goes from Arphaxad right down to Abraham to show the covenant people with the time period. That's where you really start to learn something about the Bible, through the genealogy. Whoa, what was that?
That's Talk Show. It's apparently there's another one of these radio shows, and I got an email from Jim Wickstrom, you probably did too, that said he wants us to go to Talk Show tonight, right now. And so I'm trying, but it's not working the way he says it should.
I don't get any emails from him.
Oh.
I can type them in.
I think he's made a mistake. I don't think it is Talk Show. I think it's Talk Shoe, like it always has been.
I don't even have him up anymore, because he just does the same little stick over and over again. I mean, he's...
Wow. He's all messed up.
Trying to teach, but I'll go to... I'll go to his website and see what's going on.
I'm trying to go to his website, but something's not working. JamesWickstrom.com, and then you
know what I'm going to do next?
What?
Their hero is Bertrand Comparet. I'm going to play Bertrand Comparet's little take on the Book of Esther.
Right.
And I'm going to just totally destroy the lot. This guy did not get it.
You got to do that, because he's the originator of all of it.
Yes, we got to go right to the root, and we got to, you know, just
Right.
Anyway, I mean, it's just so bad now because I cannot blame anybody who's of the denominational church world for rejecting identity.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You can't blame them because of these, you know, they know more of the Bible than Eli James does by far.
Well, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Just an average Bible student. Well, this is crazy. Just an average Bible. Forget James Wickstrom. There's nothing up there. I went to TalkShoe. I think he's having technical difficulties in his frontal lobes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was. My friends who do study the Bible and love the Bible and have it basically memorized, they'd see right through this stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, anybody, well, it's different categories, but I'm just saying that because the scales haven't fallen off the eyes of any of the denominational preachers, they know more about law and about prophecy, in truth, than Eli James does.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not going to sit there and tell you that the two witnesses, are the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, you've got a million divisions in Christianity, so you can always find some who are Baptists who will, but most Baptists who won't. It's very hard to explain it anymore because it's just so scattered. But that's why if a man or a woman, if they take responsibility for their own salvation, and they maybe slap themselves across the face and say, I'm going to believe that this is the truth. I mean, we went through it about the two witnesses, right? It's pretty clear, isn't it, Mom?
Yes, it is.
Oh, how come this great preacher of Israel, the spokesman for a Christian identity in America, thinks the two witnesses could be the Old and the New Testament?
Ah.
Because he doesn't understand it.
That's right. Absolutely.
He's spiritualizing all of the book of Revelation, which is what Comperet taught.
Right.
It's 100% figurative. So in other words, it's figurative, and Bertrand Comperet is the only one who can understand the figures to teach us what it means. And what he did is show us through the persecutions of the Christian church by the Roman Empire how it was all fulfilled in history. That's what he was doing. And yet at a later time in his teaching, he had to expand it out a little further. And that's when it came to Napoleon, which is what Eli James picked up on. That was the seventh beast. Now the eighth beast is the Rothschild. It all ended in the year 1800. That was the 1,000-year reign of Christ from Charlemagne in 800 A.D. till Napoleon in 1800 A.D.
Right, we all lived in paradise then.
Yes, except the problem is when we go through Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, we're going to see some very interesting things. And then when we go to Revelation, like we've already done in part, is that the two witnesses haven't come yet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the month is a month. The 3.5 years, they're not 1,260 years. And that's what all these people in Christian identity had to do to make the book of Revelation an historical event that's past. And then you have to spend about a year to convince people that we're not talking about the second coming of Christ. Because most of the preterists believe the second coming of Christ is future, according to the confession of Eli James. Oh yeah, Christ is coming in the future. So we're not preterists. We don't believe the book of Revelation is fulfilled. And then we have to, we're pulling out our hair, saying, yeah, but you believe all the prophecy of Revelation is already fulfilled when it hasn't even begun. And even this rambler, this crazy man, Tom Gamble, understands 10,000 times more of prophecy and about the fulfillment in the future. He understands the book of Revelation so much more than Eli James does. And this guy knows almost nothing about the Bible. kind of hard to figure out, isn't it?
Well, not really, because I understand how it happened. It's like you said, they wake up and they realize that the ancient Israelites were Caucasian, which is enough of a shock to the system. And then they go from revelation to revelation of their own, you know, every idea after idea that they form, thinking this is the ultimate revelation, and now they're really smart, and they're going to impart their wisdom, and then they go on to the next one. Oh, now they've really got it, and it just goes on like
that.
That's
what I've been trying to say. They hear the very milk, the foundation of the faith, which is the covenant law, and they think they've arrived at the pinnacle, which is the meat, when all they've ever heard is milk.
That is correct.
Now they think they're qualified to be a leader in the church, a pastor.
That's right.
And pastor is not even in the Bible as a man-ordained office.
Right.
They're all going to admit they're man-ordained.
Right.
But what should we do next? Should we do the church government study? Or should we do the Mark of the Beast study? Or should we do the Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 study of prophecy?
Are you talking to me?
I'm just saying, well, you know, where should we go?
Me and you mean?
I'm just saying, there's so many just wasted.
Okay, I thought you were mocking them. Okay, you're sincerely asking me, where do we go next?
I mean, where should I go?
Where should you go, right? Ah.
We can do it by law, we can do it by prophecy, and we can, you know, I mean, we can go into Arnold Murray a little more. I hope that everybody stops being deceived by this guy. Let me tell you a little bit about Arnold Murray. Now, I'll do a study with you. All you have to do, see, if everybody had their concordance, they can look up olive tree. The olive tree is Israel. People write Arnold Murray letters, and they read, you know, like Jeremiah 10, 1 through 4, where it's obviously talking about going in the way of the heathen is keeping the Christmas tree custom. It's so perfectly clear, you can't even miss it. Jeremiah 10, 1 through 4. But Arnold says, oh, no, Israel's an evergreen tree, a fir tree.
Oh, really?
And he quotes from the last chapter of the book of Hosea.
Oh, that's interesting, because he said that whatever was supposed to happen, a tree getting planted in Israel, had happened in 1948, and that's how we know that the end times are coming, because Israel has been reestablished as it was prophesied in Revelations, and now everything's fine except we have to go through the last days.
Well, which is totally false.
Which is totally Confederate, right.
Even M. Cowan.
I mean, even David Koresh talked about the Confederate state of Israel. Even he knew that wasn't truthful.
Yeah, but again, you know, remember, anyone you're talking about can have this little part right and 10,000 other things wrong.
Oh, look, and I'm not worshiping anyone. I'm just saying that This is such an obscure detail, and such an important thing that Arnold Murray isn't even aware that Israel is a Confederate state.
Arnold Murray doesn't even understand that the federal United States government is communist.
Oh yeah.
He said, "I'm a Marine, and I know that this nation will never be communist."
Uh huh.
Except the 10 planks of the communists, you know, they're fully implemented by the 1930s.
He probably even believes that 9/11 was done by Arabs.
Well, I'd hate to even talk to him about that.
That's right.
He's old, and he's filled with pride. And here's the point I was trying to make. I was just trying to use Christmas tree. Every time the Bible tells us to repent of this, which will cause us to lose our families and our friends, where there's a real price, just like the apostles said, we've given up houses, wives, land. What's in it for us? Christ said eternal life. It's enough for you. Every time there's a price paid, Arnold Murray takes you around the truth on the fancy dance to explain why it's fine to keep Christmas.
Explains why it's...
The Kenites, yeah, they can come to Christ and they can repent and be saved.
No, Arnold Murray doesn't like... He doesn't like Easter, I know that.
Okay, yeah, okay, there's one. And he talks about the pagan customs in it.
That's right.
And he also talks about seed of the serpent. So I'll give him those two.
Right.
But look at his conclusions of law. You have to look at where he goes, what he teaches.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm
Kenites, which didn't even exist at the time of Deuteronomy 7:1. There's no Kenites listed in the seven nations that Israel is to go in there and utterly destroy. Yeah, there were Kenites there over 600 years at the time of Abraham, before that, 600 years before. He doesn't have his names, he doesn't have his genealogies, doesn't have his time periods. He's teaching that Adam was in a spirit body in the first Earth Age.
I know, isn't that what you think?
No, Adam wasn't created in the world of old that perished.
No, I know, but isn't that what you mean when you say Adam has not yet been made in physical form until after the first age?
Well, yeah, the world of old that perished, that was done and gone. That means perished. There was no life left on the earth.
Right, and I think Arnold Murray knows that. I think that he agrees with
you. No, he doesn't get it.
Uh-huh.
He thinks that Adam was in a spirit body in the first Earth Age, and the truth is Adam hadn't even been created. That's why he believes this whole lie about brings you right back into another form of Calvinism, and, you know, that Esau was hated from the womb.
Right.
A third of the children of Adam followed Satan, and that's why they're born hated of God. Which is just crap.
Uh-huh.
They weren't even created in the world of old, that perished. See, so then Arnold Murray takes us into the thousand-year reign of Christ called the millennium. And he says, well, there just aren't any good pastors out there, and they don't have a chance coming out of the gate. So in other words, you who hear the truth, what he means is, you who listen to me, because I'm telling you the truth, give me your money, buy my tapes. He's just another businessman. He says, if you listen to me, you'll be saved and you'll be able to go to your dead relatives and be able to save them and teach them the truth.
Right.
But the Bible says the man's appointed wants to die and after this the judgment. You don't get a second chance. We're given this life to enter into life. That's why we have to make the right choices and take the Bible seriously. And believe everything the Bible says about the Bible, because it's the Word of God. Which they all say. Arnold Murray says it's the Word of God. And he says we go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, this and that. Sucks them in. They don't realize that what he sums up, what he's saying, he's making interpretations as his conclusions of law, not hearing the law.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he's wrong. There is no price for this. In Adam Murray's, you can do anything you want to. The Canaanites, what she calls Kenites, can come to Christ and be saved. And they can all be part of the body. That's why it's an interracial church.
Right.
The church is only given to Israel. That's why we read Paul in Romans 9, 3 to 5 over and over again. The adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law and the service of God all pertain to Israel according to the flesh.
Right.
Guess what? The Chinese and the Australian Aborigines and the Negroes and all the mongrels like Mexicans and all the other mongrels, which are all over the world, Arabs, Greeks, most Portugals, a lot of Spaniards, you know, a lot of them are not Israelites. South America. He'll bring anyone into his church. He's a total heretic.
Right.
Right, he's going to actually be one of those men who are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth when they realize what they could have had, eternal life, and they realize...
Eternal life with white people only.
Well, Israel only, but again, we have to draw the line. Doesn't mean, you know, just because a man's born a Mexican, if a man's a Mexican, he's an honorable man and works and is honest and doesn't steal and doesn't murder and doesn't lie, says, I have no reason to hate him. But they're not members of the body of Christ.
Is he going to heaven?
Is the Mexican?
Yeah.
Going to heaven for all eternity?
Yeah, that's what I was saying that when we go to heaven, there'll just be white people there.
I'm going to have to do this one next. I'm going to write this down because I keep getting all these ideas in my head and then I forget what I was going to say.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about this idea about it, heaven being the final destination for eternity being a lie. I'm going to read it from the Psalms and go through Revelation again.
Okay.
Heaven's coming to the earth.
Okay. Right.
Earth is the final destination. So let me do that one. I'm going to do about heaven forever or earth. I'm writing that down. That's number one. We'll do that next time.
Okay.
Read it through the Psalms and we'll go from there. But I'm just trying to tell you, But these guys who make money, they make money because they're telling people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear.
Right.
People who tell the truth cause the fear of God to come on people, and most people don't want fear.
Right.
But we've got to show, expose where these liars are lying.
Right.
We can't do it by opinions. I don't care about my feelings. God doesn't care what, it doesn't care just a bit about what my feelings are about his law. All he cares about is, do I believe his law?
Right. Do you follow the law?
Well, believe it. You have to believe it first before you can follow it. You see, we have very few who can believe it, which means they have no hope of following it. You have to believe it first, and then the second terror comes on you. Then you have a real look at yourself, and then you come into the reality of God.
I'm going to have to wrap this up because I'm tired today also.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay, we'll do a look at who inherits the earth and where they dwell on the earth. We'll do a little study on that one next time.
Okay, very good.
All right, Mona. Well, good talking with you. And
talk to you later.
You want to call me or you want me to call you tomorrow?
Either way. It's a little tiring for me. I need to not do it every day, I think.
Okay, a couple of days. I'll call you back like maybe Tuesday or something.
Okay, great. All right. Take it easy. Bye-bye.